James chapter number 4 this evening. And I want you to pray for me tonight. The Lord would help me with this message. Sometimes when you preach a message like I'm getting ready to preach, it's like walking on a something real narrow, not necessarily a tightrope, but if you've ever walked on something, how many have walked on a log? Preaching's like that. It's like there's a log across the creek and you're walking on it. If you're not too careful, you'll go too far one way. If you're not too careful, you'll go off the other way. And one of the hardest things about preaching is staying right straight in the middle, grace and truth and mercy. You preach the truth, but you preach it in love. You have to do that. You have to do that. Somebody told me this morning, after the service, a comment was made. They said, you have to have sermons like I preached this morning. And a lot of these big churches nowadays, they don't hear nothing like that. And sin will be rampant if you don't. It's rampant anyway. But you got to keep it beat down in your own personal life and in the church. And that's what we tried to do this morning. If you weren't here, be sure and get a copy of the CD. Of the message I preached this morning. Now, what I want to say tonight is I'm going to have to walk walk the plank. That don't sound good. I'm going to walk the pole log across the creek a little bit this evening, and I believe it would help us. So I need your attention. I need everybody to listen. James chapter 4, I want to look at verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You are to submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The title of my message tonight is, Some Things the Devil Does Not Want You to Do. Some Things the Devil Does Not Want You to Do. Now, if you understand the devil, I've preached this for years, he is against everything that's right. As a matter of fact, you know the devil's in something because it goes opposite from what God said. It's so easy to figure out. You don't have to wonder, is that of the devil? Is this of the devil? All you got to do is check out what the Bible says, and the devil will make it go opposite or backwards what God said. In the Garden of Eden, God said, don't eat the fruit. What did the devil say? Eat the fruit. God said, children, obey your parents. What does the devil say? You don't have to do nothing they say. God said, husband, love your wife. What does the devil say? Nah, don't mess with her. Love somebody else. The devil wants you to do opposite from what God said to do. It's really simple when you come right down to it that the devil makes you do the. If God says one way, the devil says go the other way. Simple. Backwards. Our society shows that a lot. You're in our society today, you are the mean one if you stand for what's right. Society is backwards. They are saying that wrong is right and right is wrong. So we understand tonight, it's very simple to understand which way the devil wants you to go. Now I want to say four or five things about it quickly this evening. With your prayers, I'll try to say it in the right spirit and try to help us this evening. Number one, the devil does not want you to read your Bible. The devil does not want you to read your Bible. Get that through your head. Many times you'll hear a preacher preach on reading the Bible. We're coming up on the end of the year here pretty soon. I'll have everybody that's read the whole Bible through stand up here. I'm going to finish, Lord willing. I'll have my New Testament twice and the Old Testament once, Lord willing, by then, just like I've done for many, 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 many years. And there'll be some. It's not easy. The devil has fought me reading my Bible. The devil does not want you to read your Bible. The devil will make you, you start reading that Bible, you watch, you'll just start nodding off like it's right here. And you can put it down and lay down and stare at the ceiling. Then you turn the TV on, watch the news, and something on TV for a solid hour. And the devil does not want you to read that book. He does not want you to do it. It's not always easy. You have to make yourself. That's why I preach to y'all. I preach to y'all Wednesday night all the time. Get up and read your Bible first thing every morning. Before you eat, before you watch TV, before you read the newspaper, read your Bible every single. One man said, well, a lady said, I don't have time. I've got to get the kids ready. I've got to do it. Well, get up a little bit earlier. Go to bed a little earlier and get up a little earlier and read your Bible. Amen. You know what we do as Christians? We look at everything. You hear me say this all the time. We look at everything through the lens of the Word of God. No matter what comes down the pike, I've been this way for so many years now, I don't think I could change if I wanted to. Everything that comes up, bang, Scripture hits my head. Something else comes up, bang, Scripture hits my head. I find myself all the time, total strangers out here. I was talking to a lady one day in the grocery store, and she was talking about her kid, and this kid, I said, well, that kid needs a whipping, something like that. And she said, well, my kid's never needed a whipping. And before I could even think, I said, lady, there ain't never been but one kid didn't need a whipping, and it wasn't yours, and it wasn't mine. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible, 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 Bible ought to come out of us all the time. When our political system, you know, we had a lot of people rejoicing this week because their candidates won, and thank God for what little bit of ground we might have gained. I doubt seriously if much is going to change, to be honest with you. But I'll tell you one thing, our hope ain't in Congress, and our hope is not in the House of Representatives. Our hope, we look at things through the Bible. We're not looking for a way through to settle world problems. We're looking through the Bible. He said, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. One day a trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to leave out of here. We look at everything through the lens of the Scripture. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Music. We look at music. You know, when I preach, people think, I preached on music one time, rock music, and how bad it was and how wicked it was. And a kid, some teenager, came to me and he said, well, some of the groups that I like, you don't like. And I said, boy, you missed a whole point. It ain't got nothing to do with what I like. It ain't got nothing to do with what you like. Yeah. To be honest with you, my flesh does like some of that old ungodly music. And yours does too, if you're normal. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't got nothing to do with what you like. Some people like heroin. Big deal. Some people like liquor. It don't matter. What matters is, thus saith the Lord in that book. And you know what I told him? I told him there's music in the Bible where a man played on his harp, and just the music said the hand of the Lord came upon him. It didn't say he sung. It said he played. No words at all. Are y'all listening to me? There is certain music that brings in the Spirit of the Lord. And there is certain music that brings in the spirit of the devil. Right. And don't take a genius. Don't you sit there and tell me, well, I don't see anything wrong. Don't tell me that. Look at it through the Scripture and through the Word of God. There's a man one time in the Bible had an evil spirit on him, and David come and played his harp, played the right kind of music, and the evil spirit left. You know how to get the evil spirits out of your house? Play the right kind of music. Hey man, I leave the radio playing on 780 all the time, all day long in our house. The Word of God, the singing, and the good singing and preaching is going out into the house all the time. Keep the devil out of there. Hey man, I'm telling you, we look at everything through the Scripture. By the way, can I say this? I know this is controversial. I know we may wind up in trouble before it's over with, but any kind of lifestyle that's being promoted by the world, is everybody listening? Everybody listening? It's not our opinion that matters. It's not what we think. It's got nothing to do with how we were raised. We look at everything through the lens of the Scripture. And brother, whatever the Bible says, we stand on what God said. It's not my opinion that counts. It's not your opinion that counts. We don't hate nobody. We don't even judge nobody. It's thus saith the Lord. The Scripture is what matters. I said the Scripture is what matters tonight. I'm telling you, one man told me one time, he said, well, I'm living this lifestyle, but I think God wants me to. It don't matter what you think. It's what, thus saith the Lord. And the devil don't want you to read the Bible. You ought to know what the Bible says about evolution. You ought to know what the Bible says about the homosexual lifestyle. You ought to know what the Bible says about drinking alcohol. You ought to know what the Bible says about lying and stealing and cheating. You ought to know. And let that govern our beliefs and our decisions, not how we feel. I'll be honest with you. I wish there wasn't no such thing as an eternal hell. I wish there wasn't. I can't stand the thoughts of anybody burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I wish it wasn't even there, but it is. And the Bible says that it is. It don't matter what I wish. It don't matter what I think. It don't matter what somebody said. It don't matter if 45 talk shows says something different. It don't matter if scientists say something else. Let God be true and every man a liar. What we need tonight is some Christian people that'll say, that's what it says. That's what I believe. I'm not a bigot. I don't hate nobody. I just believe the Bible. And the devil don't want you to do that. Devil don't want you to do that. Number two, the devil don't want you to pray. The devil don't want you to pray. But if you don't think that, try to pray for a half hour tonight. I mean, the phone will ring. You'll think of 15 different things you should be doing. You'll remember, I told so-and-so I'd call them. You remember, oh my goodness, I got to get this done. Oh, I got to get that load of clothes in the washer. Oh, I got to get those dishes washed. Oh, I got to make that phone call. Oh, you get down and try to pray and you'll find out the devil don't want you to pray. Man told me, he said, he come to me one time and he said, Brother Danny, he said, I need you to help me. I said, what's wrong? He said, I've been trying to pray more and more and more and fast. And he said, Preacher, I hate to tell you this because you're going to think awful of me. And I said, well, what is it? He said, when I get down and pray, he said, I start thinking the most ungodly stuff. He said, I must not be saved. And he said, what in the world? He said, I'm embarrassed to tell you, Preacher. But he said, I think the wicked thoughts come in my mind while I'm trying to pray and fast. I said, Brother, don't you know that the devil sees you down on your knees and the devil knows, and those wicked spirits, those evil spirits, they'll come and they'll put stuff in your head. They'll tell you God ain't listening. They'll tell you you're wasting your time. They'll bring up ungodly things from your past. They'll try to put condemnation on you. The devil, I'm telling you, the devil don't want you to pray. The devil don't want you to pray. You know why? Because, buddy, when people pray, God gets a hold of it. People start, I'm telling you something, brother. It don't matter how much you pray. You just keep praying more and keep praying more. We need some people in our church here tonight. Now turn with me right on down these seats, right on down to the back ones on each side that'll say, you know what? We're going to pray. We're going to spend some time praying. You want God to move on all these teenagers? Let's pray. You want God to move, save your loved ones? Let's pray. You want God to work things out in your heart? Let's pray. Pray about it. The devil don't want you to pray. Amen. You don't have to scream and holler like I do. You can pray just whispering. You can pray driving down the road. You can pray at work. One guy one time is at church, and this man went to the altar. And he went down the altar and he said, oh God! Oh Lord, I pray! Oh, little old bitty boy about that high standing on down, and he pulled his daddy's coat like that and he said, Daddy, if that man was closer to God, he wouldn't have to holler so loud, would he? And he said, yeah, that's probably true. You know, you don't have to scream and holler when you pray. It's all right if you do. But I tell you, one little boy said one time, his mama looked at him. He'd been praying. She said, son, that ain't no way to pray. And he looked back at her and he said, well, mama, I just thought he was getting tired of hearing the same thing all the time. So I told him about the three bears. He told the Lord the story of the three bears. But I'm telling you, God don't get tired of hearing us pray. He knows He wants us to pray. I'm telling you, brother, He wants us to call on Him. Let's set you aside a time and pray. Ladies, pray. Ladies, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Be a prayer warrior. God knows every great church I've ever seen had a bunch of ladies in it that got down in their prayer closet and prayed for the pastor, prayed for the Sunday school teachers, prayed for the buses, prayed for the finances. Just pray and pray. And pray and pray and keep on praying. The devil don't want us to pray. Number three, the devil don't want you to attend or support a Bible preaching church. He hates it. He knows that the church is God's direct ordained vehicle to get the gospel to the world. And brother, He don't want you going to church. If a voice pops in your head on Sunday evening and says, don't go tonight, it ain't the Lord. If a voice pops in your head and says, why don't you just quit your... it is not God telling you that. I'm telling you, brother, the devil don't want you to go to church. He don't want it. You know why? Because when you're in church, you get something in church that you can't get no other place on planet Earth. You can't... I mean, someone one time said, well, I just sit at home. I go to the TV church. Well, you can't get baptized in the TV church. You can't get married in the TV church. Your kids can't. They don't help you with your funerals. They don't help you with counseling when you're having marriage trouble. I'm telling you, everybody needs a church, and you need to be a part of your church. And if you get tired of it, go anyway. And if you get backslid, make yourself go anyway. And if you get worked out and you feel like, I'm just tired of church, get in there anyway. You don't serve God because you feel like it. You serve Him because it's right. I couldn't tell you the thousands of times that I've had to preach somewhere and I'd have a busting headache. Think my grass be that high, lawnmower tore up, and the normal thing would be just stay at home and tell them you can't make it. But I'd get in that car and go ahead and go on down the road, and I'd stand up there and preach, and it wouldn't be but a few minutes till somebody would come into that church. Next thing I know, somebody over here is crying. Next thing I know, somebody's kid got saved. Next thing I know, revival broke out, and I got my grass mowed the next day, and the Lord blessed me. I'm telling you, the devil don't want us to go to church, but go on anyway, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. I'm going to church. I don't know about you. By God's grace, I'm going. It's Christmas Eve on Wednesday night this year. By the help of the Lord, if I'm healthy, I'll be here. You say, what about your family get-together? We'll have it before or after. I think, ladies, if you stay home on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving and don't even come to church to cook a turkey, it ought to poison you. Don't you know what Thanksgiving means? Lord, you've got Tuesday night, Wednesday day, leave it in the oven, it ain't going nowhere. Amen. I'm sick and tired of people using God as an excuse not to come to church. Well, it's Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving's when we ought to be here, shouting the house down. Christmas, it's all about Jesus. There wouldn't be no Christmas if it wasn't for Jesus. There wouldn't be no such thing. Glory to God, let's get in here and worship Him. Amen, Brother Danny. The devil don't want you to come to church. I'm coming to church on Christmas Eve. Amen. Number four. The devil don't want you to be filled with the Spirit. He knows you're dangerous. He knows you're a witness for God and a soul winner. You know what? Listen to me. When a person's filled with the Spirit, they're good to each other. They're good to people. If you're a mean, hateful, smart aleck, you're not being filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about husbands, wives. I'm talking about mamas. I feel sorry for some kids. Their Christian mama is so unbearable to be around. Poor little kid. And then mama goes to church. And the kid says, mama's the devil. I feel sorry for some kids, the way their daddy snapped. It's amazing to me that when you go into work, you can be nice to everybody and snap everybody in your household's head off. Now, wait a minute. Don't bow your head. It is not time. I'll tell you when it's time to bow your head. It's amazing to me how we can be so nice to everybody out there and so hateful to our husband and our wife. And I know some of y'all sitting there saying, well, he don't know what I... No, I don't. But I know if you're filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm going to be nice to you. If I'm not nice, it's because I've done let the Spirit escape somewhere. I've done got backslid. Might as well admit it. First thing you do when you get backslid is start finding fault with people in the church. As a matter of fact, if you listen to somebody and they're talking about, well, the church is and the church that and the church is and the church that, you know you're talking to a backslider anyway. Now, when you get right with God, you don't talk bad about your church. I can talk plenty bad about it, but I don't. I know worse things than y'all do about this place. I'm not going to go around and advertise it like some kind of fool. I'm going to talk about the Lord and help people. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll live right. You know how you feel the Spirit? You'll live right even when nobody's looking. They say that your character is what you are when you know nobody's looking and nobody will ever find out. You're off somewhere and you just do right because you know it's right and you want to please God. If you change your whole lifestyle when you leave town, something wrong with your Christian life. Amen? I know there ain't nobody perfect. Don't get on me on that. But I'm telling you, when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll live right. Let me just say a few things about our church. You'll hardly ever hear me say stuff like this. I believe we was talking, matter of fact, this evening with Brother Wayne. I was talking to him about stuff, and we was talking about how when I first got right with God, I wanted to be in every service. Nobody had to fuss at me. Never, I never remember my preacher saying, "Now you get out of here, you be thankful." I couldn't wait for church to start. And I'll never forget, I went to Rose's in Marion. I don't know where I got the money, but I bought me a shirt and a tie and a pair of dress pants. And I wore that shirt and tie to dress pants. I was 18 years old. Wore it to church. 18, boys. 18. And I wore a shirt and a tie to church. And I walked in, and the pastor's wife came over and she said, "Oh, Danny, you look so nice." I thought, glory to God, I'm one of them. I'm one of these people. I'm on the preacher's side. I don't want to be him and them, bless God. I want to be Billy Sunday. Who do you teenage boys want to be, Eminem or Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday's in glory. Eminem's on his way to hell. Why would you want to be somebody like that? Girls, do you want to be Britney Spears or do you want to be a godly woman? Hey, you say, well, it don't matter how you dress. Oh, yes, it does too. Amen. The Bible don't say this, so I don't make a deal. If the Bible said it, I'd hammer it, but it don't. I like to see a man come to church dressed. I like to see you guys in a shirt and a tie. The Bible don't say you have to, but you know what? If everybody in the Congress and everybody in the Senate and all them men on TV, if they can dress up to be on their job, brother, we ought to wear our best to God's house on Sunday when we meet to worship. We're just as important or more than any senator or congressman in the country. You'll never even see me preach without a jacket on. You know why? Unless we're at camp and it's 100 degrees and we're outside or something that fits in the atmosphere. You know why? Because I take my job serious. I believe my job as pastor of this church is more important than President Barack Obama's job is tonight. He's just ruining a generation. I'm affecting souls for eternity. Say amen, boys. He's telling me about, when Wayne's telling me about it, he said he's talking to this guy and he said, "Now you guys that are ushers, you guys that are Sunday school teachers, you guys that are doing something, you ought to wear a shirt and a tie." And he said, this guy said, "I can't afford it. I can't afford no shirt and tie." And he said, that guy had on a football jersey. You know them football jerseys you got? Them some of the things, $65. $75 for a blessed football jersey. Huh? $200. Look, you ain't only backslid if you wear them. You're crazy. You're crazy. And he said, "I got a lot better things you can do with $200 than on a stupid jersey with somebody's name on it that couldn't care if you lived or died." I seen a Halloween suit, that rice man that punched his wife out in the elevator, and he was dragging her. She has a blow up doll of his wife, and he was dragging her around on Halloween. This guy said, "I can't afford it." He said, "I can't afford to wear a tie." Now let me show you something here tonight. See that shirt right there? That's a nice shirt. You know how much that costs? $9.99. I stock up on them this week. That's where I get them. Over there at the Burlington store in Gatlinburg. You can get them at Burlington Coat Factory. $9.99. And listen, them shoes didn't cost one third as much as some of them tennis shoes you kids wear. Not one third, buddy. Don't start telling me about it. You can't afford it. And I got enough ties to give every man in here three. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you, brother, listen, we ought to look our best when we go to God's house. Same thing for the ladies. You wear a dress, look nice, honor God, serve the Lord, and look like you ought to when you come to God's house.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing looks better to me. See a family come in on Sunday morning, that wife with a nice dress on, that man with a tie on, coming in the house of God to worship Him. If we let our girls just dress any old way to come to church, it ain't going to be long. It's going to get worse. Because if you dress disrespectful, you feel disrespectful. But guys wear pants down to the floor and honor God. Now, just so you won't think I'm a Pharisee, because most people that preach that are Pharisees. Let me give you another illustration. We have bus kids and people come to our church that don't have nothing. They wear the best they can. You won't hear me say one word about it. Amen. I heard a preacher tell this story. Oh, by the way, that guy that had the expensive football jersey, he told him, he said, well, I wear a $65 football jersey. He said, that's the best I got, so I wear it to honor God. His sister died, and when he came to his sister, got married, and when he came to the wedding, he had on a suit and a tie. And he told him, he said, well, you must not think much of your sister. You didn't wear your best. I never pay over $79 for a suit. Never. I have stole them. No, I have not. I have never done that. I'm just kidding. But sometime, once in a while, I'll get two for 99, something like that. I dress like a rich man, but I sure don't spend money on them. I got you fooled. My ties are $7.99. I think I paid $9 for this, and most of them $7. And some of them $5.99. But anyway, just to show you I'm not a Pharisee. Preacher got up. He said he went to church one Sunday morning, and he said there's a teenage boy about 12 or 13 come in and sat on the back row and sat there like this, and he had on a ball cap. And you know how they wear them ball caps? I mean, pull so far down, I don't see how they got to do like this. They wear them just like that, down over their ears, got half of their ears up in their hat. That's a dumb looking thing, man. Half of your ears is in your hat. And it's pulled down like that, just like that right there. And he said, I got up. And he said, I want to say, boy, get that hat off. You're in the house of God. You know, years ago, when a man come to church, he took his hat off out of respect. Ain't that right?
Amen.
You know where that comes from? That comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it said it's a shame for a man to pray with his head covered. That's why a woman can wear a hat and it's fine. But a man can't, not to worship God. Take that up with the Lord if you think he's a sexist or a bigot or whatever. I don't care what he says. I'm glad I don't like to wear them no way. This makes your hair look weird. He had it pulled down like that right there. The preacher got up and he said, I want to say something to that boy so bad I couldn't stand it. He said, and I done it. I had to do one in Sunday school this morning, but it was a church kid and he should know better. And I said, take your hat off. We'd make him at camp. I said, boys, take your hat off. We're in church. Honor the Lord. We're in church. Take your hat off. He said, I want to say that so bad I couldn't stand it. Boy, get that hat off. And he said, the Holy Ghost said, don't you say one word about that boy's hat. He said, I fooled around there a little bit and I preached some more. And he said, let's all stand and sing. He said, that boy just sat there. He said, I got so mad. Remember this, Sunday school teachers. He said, I want to say, boy, you little punk. You think you're going to defy God in here? I'll run back there and smack your jaws. And he said, the Holy Ghost said, don't you say one word about that boy's hat. He said, he preached there a little bit more. Halfway through the message, he said, it just started getting in his craw. He said, I can't believe that boy sat there like that and disrespect God. He said, I'm going to go back there and smack his jaws. And he said, the Lord said, don't you say one word about that boy's hat. He said, I didn't. He said, it took all I could do, but I didn't say nothing. He said, he preached, And he gave the invitation. And he said, that boy stepped out over on that side and came down like that and got down and kneeled down the altar. And somebody prayed with him and he got saved, got born again. It's like that. And he said, the next day he talked to this woman. She said, preacher, I just want to tell you something. He said, I just want to tell you something, preacher. She said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for preaching to my nephew. He got saved yesterday morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, preacher. Praise God, preacher. I'm so glad my nephew got saved. Thank you for preaching to him. He said, well, I'm glad, ma'am. I'm glad. Thank God. She said, he got saved. I've been so burdened for him. He got saved. And she said, and preacher, thank you so much for not saying nothing about his hat. Appreciate that so much. She said, he got cancer. She said, he's been going through chemo and all his hair has come out. She said, he will not go out of the house without that hat on. She said, he's so embarrassed. She said, thank you so much. Thank you so much for not saying nothing. And the preacher said, you're welcome, man. And he knows if it had been up to me. Now, y'all hear what I'm teaching you tonight? You got to be led by the Spirit. You can't just judge everybody and condemn everybody because they don't look like you think they ought to look. That's what I'm talking about walking that plank. We got to stay balanced. We got to stay balanced. Most churches that preach what I preached a minute ago are so self-righteous and stuck up, nobody can't even come to them, but people live on a certain level.
Yeah. Right.
And we got to be balanced. We preach what the Bible says, but if there comes somebody in that don't do it, you love them and be nice to them anyway. That boy had cancer treatment. He wore that hat, and the Holy Ghost told him, don't say nothing about it. When Jesus was at the woman at the well, He didn't start blasting her and say, you old Jezebel, shacking up, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. All he said was, you've had five husbands, one you ain't now, God ain't got your husband. Now let's get things settled and get things right. That's why you need to be filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not sensitive to stuff like that.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
You don't just live by your convictions and my beliefs. We can't just cram down people's throat like we think we're God or somebody. You got to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Get you a $9 shirt and save you $200 football jersey. Give it some offering to a missionary. Number five. And I'm through. The devil don't want you to trust God. The devil don't want you to trust God. Now, I'm honest with you. We are in America. We are used, especially this is for all the ladies. In America, we are used to knowing our bills are going to be paid. We'll have enough money to make the house payment. I know a preacher. Every time I'd see him, everything he'd want to do, his wife would say, we can't afford it. He wanted to say, we can't afford it. It didn't matter what he said. We'll stop at McDonald's. We can't afford it. And that woman had conditioned her mind, no matter what he said, they couldn't afford it. Now, you ain't supposed to just go out and blow money like it's going out of style. But you've got to trust God, folks. You can't save up enough to pay what your bills are. He was telling me the other day, his bills, one in the hospital, something like $250,000, something like that, Brother Wayne, close to it. Somebody told me the other day, he stand up here, Cody. He was telling me that's $1 million boy. That's $1 million boy. Does he look like $1 million boy? I tell you, he's worth $1 million to the Lord. And I bet he's worth $1 million to these people here. Amen. Lord have mercy, son. You better do something with your life. We done spent $1 million on you. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, you're going to have to trust the Lord. Here's what you're going to have to do. I know girls, they'll say, if I break up with my boyfriend, I know he ain't no count, but if I break up with him, I'm afraid that I won't get another one that's good. You know what you need to do? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Lord, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do the right thing. By your grace, I'm going to live for you. And if one comes down the road, all right. And if they don't come down the road, it'll be all right too. Don't spend your whole life saying, well, I got to do this. And if I don't do that, covering yourself. Some of y'all, you spend all your life covering all the bases so you'll be protected and you'll be took care of. And it's all about you and my needs being met. And I want to make sure my bill pays. Brother, just live for God and trust Him. You can't stop yourself from having an aneurysm on the way home. God's the one that's taking care of you.
God's the one taking care of you. The devil don't want you to trust God. The devil don't want you to trust God because you're liable to turn down that big paying job to serve God and do your bus route and turn down that big paycheck, and the devil don't want you doing that. The devil says, now don't it make sense that you take this job because you're going to make a lot of money. Now you're going to have to move away and there ain't no good churches where you're going. Or you're going to have to do it. You need to learn how to trust God. All of us need to trust the Lord with our future and our families and our friends. I learned a long time ago when I was going up to preach when them girls was little. And I left them night after night after night after night after night. Thousands. I'm not exaggerating. Thousands of nights. And someone say, well, what if they get in trouble? What if they do this? What? I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Stay home and watch them? Let the revival go? And I said, God's called me to preach, Lord. I'm going to do what you want me to do, and I'm going to trust you to take care of my kids. And he did. You have to put your kids in his hand. If you put him first, some of you right now, you say, well, my marriage ain't no good, and I'm not letting my husband run over me no more. I'm going to stand my ground and tell him to go jump. Now, you might need to just say, Lord, I'm going to do right and serve you, and I'm going to trust you. After all, it's not your job to punish him, no way. It ain't your job to punish her, guys. If God wants her punished, he's well able to do it. You just live right and say, I'm going to do right in my marriage by God's grace. Whether they do or not, I'll do the right thing. Lord, help. Say, let's get down and pray about it, honey. Let's get out and pray. I don't want to. Let's pray anyway. Let's ask God to help us. The Lord, the devil don't want you to trust God. He wants you to act on your own, do something stupid. The devil don't want you to visit and pray. I'll tell you this story and I'm done tonight. I feel like I'm walking that plank and I done fell off one side or the other according to whoever is judging me. Some of you think I went too far one way and some think I went too far the other way. Tom Malone, great preacher, said he was called to visit this man in the hospital, dying. And he said he went and he tried to present the gospel to this man dying in the hospital, and the man wouldn't respond. He said about a week or two later, he went back again. And he said, sir, I sure wish you'd accept the Lord, and read him scriptures and prayed with him and tried to witness to him. And the man didn't respond. And a few days later, the man was dying. They said he's living his last few hours. He said, Tom Malone said he went. And that man was just like laying there like this, staring into the, like, he didn't even know if he could hear him or not. Whatever, in a coma or dying or what, but he was just laying there like this, staring at the ceiling. No response, no nod his head, nothing. And he said, one more time, I took the Bible, and I said, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible said. And then he said, I left, and they called me the next day and said he died. And he went out into eternity, probably lost. And he said, but I could tell my wife and my family and them at the funeral, I did my best, and I did my part, and I don't have to live with the guilt of thinking that man went to hell and I didn't even tell him how to get saved. That's what the devil don't want us to do. I believe there's people in here at our church tonight while she's coming. I believe there's people in here tonight, got loved ones, got family, got friends, that you know is not saved. You work, and you keep putting it off, keep putting it off, keep putting it off, keep putting it off. One of these days, somebody, y'all need to get in the bus ministry. Get in there. Get in there. One lady mentioned to me this morning, said, Brother Danny, I'd like to get in the bus ministry. I said, praise God. She come in that front door. Said, the Lord been dealing with her about it. I said, hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, we need to do business with God. There's some things the devil don't want you to do. Let's stand by our head for prayer. She's playing. Who will meet me here at the altar tonight? Let's just gather around here and pray. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's get around this altar tonight.